We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, text number 12. Translation: A woman is honored in the world by the benediction of her husband. And a husband like you will become famous by having children because you are meant for the expansion of living entities. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. According to Rishabhdev, one should not become a father or mother unless one is confident that he can beget children whom he can deliver from the clutches of birth and death. Human life is the only opportunity to get out of the material sense, which is full of miseries of birth. Birth, death, old age and diseases. Every human being should be given the opportunity to take advantage of his human form of life. And a father like Kashyapa is supposed to beget good children for the purpose of liberation. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाध श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्यैमा पुरो विभो निर्मायशेते यदमूषपुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृशिष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण. Here, the conversation between Diti and Kashyapa is continuing. So, Diti is posing different arguments, and in that way, pursuing Kashyapa to have a union and to beget children. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the teachings of Rishabhdev, showing that to accept any position, any responsible position, one has to be qualified. And what is that qualification? And that qualification is that one should be able to deliver the dependence from samsara, from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So this is the qualification. Now if you see the current society, hardly is there any qualification for the leaders. Even in a material sense, the leaders are not really qualified to run the state, run the country. Because many of them, they may be good with politics, to do anything to hold on to the position, to cheat or to bribe or to do anything or to kill anything just to get the position. So they may be good with the politics within the party, and they can become a leader and they can manipulate the mandate. In that way they can come to the post, but where is the training to be the leader? So hardly is there any training. even just on a material sense, then what to speak about in the spiritual sense? Because material training in itself is insufficient. If someone is spiritually trained, then they know how to manage the matter properly. If not, one doesn't know how to manage the matter. So this is the current situation of the society. And Rishabdev, you know, millions of years back, he trained his sons. So this was, you know, one of the original, you know, leadership training program. There were, you know, he was coaching his children to be the future leaders on principles and practice of leadership. And Rishabdev had how many sons? He had 100 sons. And all of them were present. And for the benefit of them, Rishabdev started instructing, as we can see in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 5th chapter. And it can be a bit shocking, because the first verse itself is very strong and straight. Naham deho deha bhajo ashtan kaman asade vidbhujanye tabo divyam putrakayena sattam shuddhyet yasmat brahmasokhyam tu anandam. So this is the first instruction in the leadership coaching program. You know, the first instruction is naham deho. First telling, you know, we are not the body. Naham deho deha bhajo kashtan kaman arhade vidbhujanye. The apparent sense gratification one is seeking in the human form of life is very well available in the life of a hog who gets satisfaction simply by eating stool. So he instructs, okay, tapo divyam putraka, you indulge in the austerities for devotional service. What is the result of that? Shaddham sattam shuddhyet. When you perform austerities in bhakti, then one's consciousness becomes purified. Yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anandam. Then one can enjoy brahma saukhyam. Then one can enjoy eternal happiness in Krishna consciousness. So this is the beginning verse of Rishabdev's teaching. So here, the strong principle is mentioned. In fact, there was a book a while ago, maybe a few years back, maybe 6 or 7 years back. It was titled Spiritual Yoga. Anyone remembers that book? A small book, Spiritual Yoga. It was the instructions of Rishabdev. So there was one devotee who used to like very much distributing this book. It was very heavy. I don't know if this is really meant for the new people. You know, the first verse itself is very heavy. So the title of the book was very attractive, right? The Spiritual Yoga. So he used to catch all the new people in the street, and he used to give out this book, and for any donation, because it's a small book after all. And if anyone opens and reads the first verse, they understand it is very serious. It is not the yoga at all. What are they thinking about? And this devotee used to demand always, I need spiritual yoga. I need this book only. Because the yoga term is there in the title. And he used to distribute boxes of them. So this is the teachings of Rishabdev. From the beginning, it is very heavy. And in fact,
eye-opener,
yes it was. And in fact, Rishabdev's teaching was so successful because all 100 sons were able to accept responsible positions. Right? The 10 of them, including Bharat Maharaj, who was the chief among them, became the rulers of the world. And they were ruling different varshas. So Bharata Varsha, because Bharat Maharaj was ruling this varsha became Bharata Varsha. And think about their qualification. And different other sons, they ruled different varshas like Harivamsha and other varshas. So what is their qualification? So earth, if we consider ruling the earth in itself is so difficult. Okay, ruling anything is difficult. So even one country is difficult. Then what to speak about ruling the whole earth? It is practically impossible. And think about ruling Bharatavarsha, because in the whole Bharatavarsha, earth is only a subsection of Bharatavarsha. So, according to Vedic cosmology, even earth is not considered the whole of Bharatavarsha. Sometimes it is addressed as the whole Bharatavarsha, but generally it is not. Earth is only part of Bharatavarsha. So, Bharat Maharaj was ruling the whole Bharatavarsha. And there are other varshas ruled by other kings. So, they were so qualified. So, these were the 10 kings. Then, apart from that, 9 of them became Navayogendras, the preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, we have heard in the 11th canto, we hear from this different Yogendras. You know, Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Pippalayana. So we hear different yogendras. So they became the Mahabhagavatas. They became the preachers, and they were just traveling and preaching. So if you see the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are preaching Krishna consciousness. So 9 of them became such great devotees, and rest 81 of them became qualified brahmanas in Smriti Shastra, and they were guiding the society in performing fruitive activities. So they knew pure devotional service, but people wanted different kinds of fruitive activities, so they were able to administer those activities. So this was the preaching of Rishabhdev, very successful, 100% success, right? If we consider our preaching, you know, we try, many people, we try to speak something about Krishna consciousness. First of all, we can't preach direct Krishna consciousness. We had to, you know, a little bit here, there, and a little bit come, touch the point of, okay, we are not the body. We are the soul, and we have some connection to Krishna. So preaching in itself is a very slow step, slow paced. And how many people actually show interest? How many people do come back for the program? What to speak about becoming a devotee? So this is the situation of our preaching. But here, Rishabhdev, his preaching was 100% successful. He became all of them devotees and qualified leaders. So here in the teachings of Rishabhdev, he makes it very clear what is the root of suffering, because that is the whole section is speaking about that. What is the root of suffering? So here, Rishabhdev says, you know, the root of suffering is agara maithunyam agara vajnaha, asadhyam agaram maithunyam vajnaha. So he says that the root is the desire to enjoy sense gratification, which is grounded upon attraction between male and the female. So here, this is the root. Then from there, everything else comes. In fact, one time Srila Prabhupada was in India, and he visited many families. So one of these families is the master of the house, the husband. He was showing, this is my wife, this is my first child, this is my second child. You know, he was showing everyone to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada turned to his disciple, and he told, he's telling, this is my sex life. He's describing, this is my sex life. So this is the position. So Srila Prabhupada was very straight into the subject. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says, okay, this is the agaram, this is the maithuna agar. So what is the shackle? What is the shackle in this person? That is the attraction between the male and the female. So Rishabhdev emphasized so much on this principle. Okay, he says, it's only, even a learned person can be very much captured by the activity of sense gratification, which is centered around attraction between the male and the female. So one can be very learned, but he can also very easily fall down, and he can act just like a foolish animal. This is the term used as a foolish animal. If you see, I was the other day watching the Love in the Animal Kingdom, a documentary. It is just far out. If you, you know, it's a 45 minutes or 50 minutes documentary, very amazingly taken by the National Geographic Channel. And in that, it is showing the love in the basically the sex life of different species of life. It's just far out how the male is trying to attract the female and vice versa. And the whole thing is about that. And when we see that, there is no difference between the animals in different species and the human beings. The same thing. That's why the foolish animal. There's exactly the same thing. Go to the Arctic Circle, see the polar bear, same thing. Go to the ocean, fish, the same thing. See the birds, the same thing. You know, you take any species, the principle is exactly the same. So that's why it is mentioned, maidhunya agara, and ajnaha, one who is foolish, get entrapped with that. So Rishabhdev very strongly emphasizes this point. In fact, a human being is supposed to control his senses. That is human being. So it is said the responsibility of a man, the character of a man, means he has to control his senses. Otherwise there is no character. If one cannot control one's senses, then one doesn't have any character at all. Many people think, you know, woman has become powerful in the society. In fact, it's not that woman has become powerful, but man has become very weak. Because men cannot control the senses. You see, the current generation, the men has lost it. they cannot control the senses at all. So even they cannot achieve anything materially, what to speak about spiritual attainment. So this is the sad situation. And even as devotees, we can succumb to lustful desires, not necessarily externally, but internally. And we can forgo the instructions of Krishna. We can think the demands of lust, oh, it is so important. And the mind can linger in those thoughts. And one can continue in that way. And at the same time, the instructions of Krishna, what we have heard from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we forgo those instructions. So we succumb to our lustful desires. It can come internally and then can manifest as external. So this is the strong Maya. It is mentioned, conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. So this is the, we can see in this pastime of Kashyapa Muni, same thing. Conceding, he conceded to the act of sex. And because of that, the whole world has to suffer. Right? That's how the Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were born. So this is mentioned. So because of this point, so everyone had to suffer. Even Didi had to suffer. Because once Didi understood that these demons have entered her womb, as a nice, pious lady, even though she couldn't control senses for some time, she thought, I had to perform austerity so that I don't want to give birth to these children for a long period of time. So she performed austerities so that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they would stay in her womb for a long time, long, long period of time. See the power of Diti. She had concern for the society because she understood, if they come out from my womb, then they are going to create a havoc to the whole society. And they did. So this is the same principle applies to everyone. So it is mentioned that the attraction and attachment to reciprocal relationship is more entangling than otherwise. Even Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita about the attachment. In attachment between a family attachment, attachment between man and a woman, whatever, there is a reciprocation. So the attachment becomes stronger. So that is much, much more deeper than the other attachments. Say one may be attached to a mobile phone or a laptop or some particular kind of cloth or just the building. So those attachments, it can be very easily slackened because there is no reciprocation. People don't have intelligence. The people still, you know, I love this, I love the other thing. They usually use the word love for anything. Not necessarily for person, but for things. You know, it is mentioned that, look, people are, you know, using people, right? People started using people. It is meant that people can use things, but rather people started using people. So this is the situation. So when there is reciprocation, the attachment is very deeper. So that's why people do suffer, like anything, because of attachment. One time, so Srila Prabhupada is very, very clear on this third canto, 20th chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes, the more we are attached to proclivity to enjoy sex life, it's not that one has to perform that activity, but if the mind is driven towards that, then one is less qualified to make spiritual advancement. So more one is attracted, it becomes more difficult to make spiritual advancement. In other words, if one wants to make spiritual advancement, the inclination in itself one has to reduce. So Prabhupada mentioned in the third canto, the same canto in the 20th chapter. In fact, that's the principle of brahmacharya, which is the foundation of the varnashram. So Prabhupada mentioned, it is the principle of the whole varnashram system. It is based on brahmacharya. One time in a conversation with one of his initial disciples, Srila Prabhupada explained the principle of varnashram. He explained the brahmacharya, including the regulative principles, and he explained the fourth regulative principles. That is, you know, about the marriage, the sex life, even marriage is restricted. So this disciple told Srila Prabhupada in a very sarcastic way. He told, then what's the point? why bother? So in a very sarcastic way. So Srila Prabhupada said, he took it very positively. Srila Prabhupada said, you have understood the principle of brahmacharya. Then why bother? Remain a brahmachari. So the Prabhupada said, this is the principle of brahmacharya. So one, if one understands it is entangling, so if one can avoid, avoid it. So this is the principle. In fact, there was one devotee, he used to, when he used to preach, when he gets anyone and everyone, pretty much the initial preaching is the fourth regulative principle. So he used to explain all the intricate details of the fourth regulative principles. He got me also, I remember, when I came to Krishna consciousness, he, this devotee got me and he also started preaching this. And he was explaining the whole details and I was, oh, amazing. This is a bit far out, I haven't heard this before. So this is it's important that we need to understand these principles, because otherwise we cannot make any spiritual advancement. One is again shackled in the material energy. So in the brahmacharya, there are different kinds of brahmacharya. One kind of brahmacharya is just accept the Gayatri Mantra and be a brahmachari for one night. So this is the first kind of brahmacharya. It's called Brahmana. Sorry, it's called the Gayatra. It's the first kind of brahmachari. First level of brahmacharya is just remain a brahmachari for one night. It's good. It can look very simple. Externally it can be simple, but internally it may not be very easy. So that is the first level. And the second one is, one can be brahmachari for 3 years, up to 3 years. So that is considered the second one. And then one can get married. So that is prajapatya. And the third one is, it's a bit more longer, that is Brahman, that is around 12 to 20 years. One can remain a brahmachari for 12 years to 20 years and then can one get married. So that is the third kind. And the fourth kind is Naishtika, meaning one is not getting married at all. So these are the four kinds of brahmacharya. So this is mentioned in the Shastra. We may not have all these four, you know, all these three different categories at this point. But at least there are, broadly there are two categories. One is Upakurvana and Naishtika. That is, one will get married and one will not. So there are at least two categories currently we can see. So here, when we try to understand this verse, Rishabhdev explains there are three reasons for accepting another material body. First one is very very simple. Nunam pravatta kurute vikarma yadindriya priti apanoti na sadhumanye yata atmanoyam masanda vikleshada asudeha. So that is, what is the reason for accepting another body? Vikarma. Activities of sense gratification. If one performs activities in sense gratification, then one has to accept another body. So this is the first reason. Then Rishabhdev goes even deeper. Okay, one could stop the activity in itself to some degree, but what is more deeper than the activities of sense gratification? What is that? That is? Sorry? Proclivity, that's right. So, parabhavastavat abodhajato yavanna jnasata atmatattvam yavat kriyatavat idam manovai karmatmagam yena sharira baddha. So, he says, karmatmagam. He uses the term karmatmagam to describe the mind. Karmatmagam means the fruitive. So when the mind is fruitive, when the mind is filled with material desires, then what happens? Then also one has to accept another material body. So, sharira baddha, one is entangled in the material life because the mind is fruitive by nature. So, one could stop, apparently one can stop all the external activities, but internally, if one is meditating on sense gratification, still the material existence is there as it is. It is very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Artehi avidyamanepi samsrdir na vidyade dhyayato vishyanasya sopne na arthagamano yatha. That is, for one who is meditating on the objects of sense gratification, even though the material existence lacks factual existence, it doesn't go away. Just like unpleasant experience of the dream. So one can stop all the sense gratificatory activities. One can stop everything. But still, if one is thinking about sense gratification, then the whole material existence is present. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a song, he says, Yemana Durmati. He says, this material mind has brought me into material existence. Or in other words, the material existence is continuing only because of the mind, because of the material mind. It is fruitive. It's not just a pure mind, but the mind is fruitive by nature. So we need to understand this point very clearly. So it's not just the external, but the internal. We have to understand. Otherwise, it can be so entangling. Mind is so tricky. And the thoughts of the mind, it comes into action. Other day I was sitting for a meditation session. So the guest came and one girl, she was quite regular for the meditation session. It's a kirtan night. And this girl came and she was sitting, you know, with everyone, you know, properly, you know, sit erect, you know, back straight, everything. And suddenly I saw chanting about to start. In between, she pulled her, you know, lipstick, you know. And immediately, you know, I was thinking, you know, she came for the spiritual meditation. And immediately, you know, just before start singing, you know, immediately, you know, lipstick, everything. I thought, you know, she'll pull her mirror also, you know, to check everything. But okay, the mobile phone was there, so things were fine. Mirror was not necessary. So this is the situation. Whatever one is thinking, whatever one is absorbed, if one is self-absorbed, then naturally that comes out. So even if you're sitting for meditation, so the same principle applies to us also. Even though we are practicing devotees, whatever is going on in the mind, that can come out as action. So we need to see what is in our mind. Then finally, Rishabhdev says, okay, what is the third reason? Third reason he points to avidya. Avidya admani avirudhamane. That is, the self is covered by avidya, by ignorance. And since the self is covered by the ignorance, that is the ultimate cause of bondage. So one cannot, as far as one is in ignorance, one cannot develop attraction for Krishna. And whenever there is a thick covering, it is impossible. So that is the three reasons we can see. One is the external activities, second is the mind, and third, in a deeper level, it is the ignorance. So one is, because of ignorance, one is envy. So one can see the ignorance in that. Then Rishabhdev says, okay, how to be a leader? Because it is important, that is an important point in this verse. And to be a leader, to accept any responsible position, one has to get out from this bodily consciousness. And how? First one is associate with the devotees. If you don't have the association of the devotees, it is impossible to stop material existence. Mahasevam ahur vimuktehe. So if one doesn't associate with the devotees, it is impossible. Think about ourselves without association of the devotees. To come to Krishna consciousness and after that staying in Krishna consciousness, it is impossible. So if one associated with the devotees, then all these hard knots will be slackened. Then it has to lead to what it has to lead to: initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. So Rishabhdev says, Hamse Guru, one has to accept a Paramhamsa spiritual master. So that is the instruction of Rishabhdev, to get out from the clutches of material existence. And so one thing is, one has to stop the sense gratificatory activities, because we may perform vikarma. So one has to stop the activities of sense gratification. Second, one has to purify the mind, because without purifying the mind through the process of devotional service, one cannot get out from the material clutches. So one has to give up the fruity consciousness. One has to, for that one need spiritual knowledge, and that lead to devotional service. And when one develops attraction for the Supreme Lord, then mind will be controlled, senses will be controlled. So this is the process. So Rishabhdev says, one shouldn't become a father, one shouldn't become a mother, one shouldn't become a guru, one shouldn't become a demigod, one shouldn't become a king, unless and until one knows how to deliver his or her dependence from the clutches of material existence. So people talk about contraceptives, but this is the highest contraceptive. If one understands this, and if one only begets children in this fashion, or if one accepts position according to this rule, and then there will be only qualified people in this world. One devotee was complaining to Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj that why Gurukul is producing only children who are not really, all of them are not becoming devotees. He was complaining a lot of things. practically speaking, criticizing gurukuls. That is, our gurukul system is not proper. It's only, the children coming from gurukul, they are not becoming devotees. That was his complaint. So Maharaj told that it depends on what consciousness you produce children. It's not like a factory, cookie cutter or it's just factory. You give anyone and it'll become a pure devotee. He was mentioning the consciousness in which you are producing children, then we can train them. It's not that automatically everyone become pure devotees. Everyone is bringing their own consciousness from their past life. So it's not possible that just transformation. Gurukul can provide the facilities, can give the association that can provide transformation, but it is not guaranteed because individual karma, individual consciousness and individual independence is still there. So no one can blame in that way. So that is the position of the accepting responsible positions. Then if one cannot accept, or if one is in a wrong position, then the dependence has all the rights to reject. Just like Bali Maharaj rejected his own guru. Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport. Bali Maharaj rejected his own guru, Shukracharya, because he was unable to deliver Bali Maharaj from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Brahmana's wives, the Brahma Patnis, we can see in the pastimes of Krishna, they rejected their husbands because husbands were not capable of delivering their wives. And it is mentioned, Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother. So there are examples in Shastra, and even Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father. So if these leaders in these responsible positions, if they are unable to fulfill their responsibility, then the dependents can reject. And Shastra gives many examples. So when we talk about, and what is the ultimate qualification? Ultimate qualification is that such leaders had to be engaged in devotional service. That is the highest qualification. Because by engaging in devotional service, one has knowledge and one has detachment. So the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is to engage in devotional service, and in that way one can develop attraction for Krishna. Because Krishna is the most attractive person. Why we perform devotional service? Because Krishna is the most attractive person. Initially we may not realize that. We may just do it out of one's own duty. One may push oneself. But the Krishna consciousness movement will help us to realize that Krishna is the most attractive. As Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Devotion, Krishna is the most attractive. He is the best in everything. Whatever he does, he is the best. Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Devotion about his artistic talents. He writes poems, he writes songs, and he writes the best songs. Geetam Gumbhadi, Tandavam Ghadayate, and he's the best dancer. We know on top of Kaliya he was dancing on a moving stage. He was dancing perfectly. And it's mentioned, Brute Praheli Kramam. And we like puzzles, right? Kids especially, they try to, solve different puzzles. And Krishna is the best puzzle maker. In two sense, if you consider the clutches of Maya, it is the biggest puzzle. Who can solve this? The Maya puzzle, who can solve that? No one can. Even a devotee can't. Only a devotee needs Krishna's mercy. Then what to speak about? He can make riddles and puzzles even in Vrindavan, along with his devotees, to spend some time. So Brute Praheli Kramam. And Venum Gayati. So he plays upon his flute. He's the best flute player. He can bewilder anyone and everyone by his flute playing. It is mentioned, Trijagan Mohanam Geetam. By his flute he can bewilder the whole three worlds. It's mentioned, we make garlands, right? He's the best garland maker. He can paint the best paintings. So Krishna is very artistic. We like magicians, right? Magicians. If you go to Sanskrit, probably in front of crosses, you sometimes find magicians. They do some tricks. They bring, you know, different magical objects. It is mentioned Krishna, he can also bring many magical objects. Krishna is compared to a magician because he can, from nothing, he can create many things. But Krishna is the best magician. And also, he gambles. And he's the best gambler. If we go to casino, we may go, most of the time, loses money. But Krishna, he can gamble, he can play dice. As it is mentioned, Dyute Jain Unmadan. He gets his proud friends and he plays gambling matches and defeat them. So Krishna is considered, he's best in the artistic craftsmanship. So Krishna is the best in everything. Rupa Goswami says, Paravati Vicharanena Gavam Kalapam. He can write songs for the cows. You know, usually people write songs for, you know, humans, but Krishna can write songs for cows. And cows are completely attracted by these songs. Gopangana Ganam Apanga Tarangitena. Simultaneously, Krishna is considered chatura or clever because on one side he can write and he can sing songs for the cows, and all the cows get captivated by Krishna's songs. And on the other side, just by movements of the corner of his eyes, he can captivate all the gopis. And Mitrani Chitratara Shankara Vikramena, and for his cowherd friends, he performed heroic activities. And meanwhile, Udyan Arishta Bhayadena Harirvireje. And meanwhile, he can give immense fear to asuras like Arishtasa. So simultaneously, Krishna can do everything. He can sing songs for the cows, he can attract the gopis, and he can perform heroic activities for the cowherd boys. And he can give so much of fear, he can inflict so much of fear into the hearts of asuras. And he does everything simultaneously. So Krishna is considered chatura, he is very clever. So in bhakti, we try to develop attraction for Krishna. And when we develop attraction for Krishna, then it becomes easier to control the mind. Because mind can slowly move towards Krishna. Then mind becomes peaceful. Then we can chant a bit more peacefully. So it's a cultivation. It's a lifelong cultivation. Our chanting is a lifelong cultivation. Developing bhakti is a lifelong cultivation. So as you develop this attraction for Krishna, we want to do more service. And as we do more service for Krishna, what happens? We develop more attraction for Krishna. So it goes back and forth in a cycle. So that is the life of a devotee. So here, the Kashyapa's example is important because it is mentioned in the future purports that Kashyapa didn't have attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was meditating on Brahman. So since he didn't have that attraction and he was not pure in his heart, he got succumbed to the persuasion of his wife. So then Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur, who was a pure devotee, who was tested by one prostitute and also later by Maya Devi herself. Since still he didn't get bewildered. So Srila Prabhupada glorifies a pure devotee in comparison to a Brahmavati like Kashyapa. So again, in conclusion, ultimate qualification of a leader is that he has to be a devotee. Then he can rightly guide the society. He can rightly guide his dependents. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a few comments. Number one, Krishna says in Chaitanya Bhagavad-gita, 3.6, Kanyan Jnani Sinanya Aste Mansasman Kanyata Mungata Kajata Chalati. People are pretending that they are really devoted. Mm-hmm. They are thinking about the sexual attraction. The other example comes to Prithu Maharaj. He was describing with the Mother Earth. Why you are not producing? Why you are accepting all the austerities of the public, of the citizens, and you are not giving anything to them? What is this? So, cow heads to suckle the animals, or they send a calf and then you give the medicine and then you give them. So, as you said, Krishna is most attractive. Thank you very much for a very nice lecture. A few more points taken up.
here, woman is honored by the word, by the benediction of her husband. What benediction is speaking about? Diti is asking about, she wants a child. So that is a benediction she's asking. So, yeah. So that is a benediction. Is that clear? Yeah. So, woman having children is respected. Yes, it is. We can hear the pastime of Yamanacharya, right? Even having, what was that pundit's name who was arguing with Yamanacharya? Kolahala. He was telling Yamanacharya. Sorry, Yamanacharya told Kolahala that your mother is barren. How is it possible? So then he explained. Because your mother, according to one Shastra, having one child is considered barren. So in that way, he defeated in that way. So the point is, having children is honorable. And so it is considered a benediction that is asked by Diti to Kashyapa. Yeah.
Two more points come to my mind.
Yeah.
One is the mercy of Radharani is most important.
Yeah.
Without mercy of Radharani, we cannot get mercy of Krishna.
That's right.
And yesterday night, it so happened, I was watching the YouTube video of Radhana's song. Excellent. He is giving such nice description about Krishna. The whole audience is captivated. And the best thing he told was, he was giving a lecture to the bankers and economists in Bombay. 400 people were there in the audience. And one silly fellow asked him a very straight question. And he replied, so nice, you have seen the YouTube, or have you seen it? That he's nice reply in one of the US videos, in New Jersey, that it's well bound answers. Mm. So he has got greatest mercy from Srila Prabhupada, I think.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that point. The problem is not fulfilling the desire, but the problem was in the time. Ultimately, it is a free choice. And one attracts a soul according to one's consciousness. So, it is the responsibility of parents. It's not easy, always. And also, even though one can attract a soul who may be in good consciousness, still, material energy is very powerful. It can captivate. So there are many reasons, multiple reasons. Yeah.
No guarantee.
No guarantee. Yeah. Yes, bro.
This is part of the comment where you describe the different Krishna's the best at everything.
What is it?
Krishna is the best at everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he learned every art perfectly in each day, right? Each skill one day, one day program. It was it's not a question, it is a comment. How Krishna learned different art forms in each day, one day, one art form in one day, like that. All the 64 arts Krishna learned under Santipini Muni, right? Santipini Muni, yeah. He was mentioning it. So many.
On the same thing, like one more point I remember, Krishna was so convincing that he convinced his mother, Yashoda mother, that his stealing of butter is also endorsed by her. He convinced her nicely, "Mother, do you really hate me stealing butter from her? You know, what you think is right." So convincing.
Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Ganesha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. One shouldn't compare Grahastha to a sannyasi. Haridasa Thakur was a sannyasi, whereas Kashyapa was a Grahastha. So, in one sense, Kashyapa's action could be justified.
It is justified.
It is justified.
Yeah.
That's the point.
The only thing that